Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Sanford Stadium. The correct Sanford Stadium time. Hitchcock Field, Plainsman Park. The clock on the wall says 9:05 p.m. Central Standard Time. You're tuned into the Orange and True podcast, presented by the friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, at CenterCrow2 on Twitter. You'll find me at CenterCrow on Venmo. We've watched this recording so far, but don't worry. It's all uphill from here. Those are the famous words from our no show notes having co-host to one side of me, the rumor monger, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for see you later.
Everybody, the S stands for shove, like Blake Burkhalter did Monday night.
Letter of the day is K.
Yeah, the S stands for strikeout. The other side of me, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR that you pay so much for. The man from the right side of Merseyside, the AU chief.
Oh, buddy.
This is a Pauly Shore reference on this podcast in the year of our Lord 2022.
Yes, it is.
At first, I thought you were just going to randomly do a Werewolves in London drop. Like, all right.
Either that or I thought it was going to be like a Brooks and Dunn play something country reference.
If you just go Werewolves in London, I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I'm glad that you got that. Ryan 100% did not get it. So.
There is a 5% chance Ryan Starrett knows Pauly Shore from Adam.
No,
I do not know Pauly Shore. I do know Werewolves.
He couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
He does know Werewolves of London.
It's encouraging that he knows Werewolves of London.
Yeah. Well,
that voice you just heard, the dulcet tones of one Drew McCracken, a man who has got to be one of the happiest people in America today.
It's funny. I was wondering to myself Monday night, as I blinked in and out of consciousness while listening to Andy Burcham and Brad Law bring us the live events that were happening in Corvallis while I laid my head on the pillow. Who's happier right now? And it's not Butch Thompson. It's not, you know, Blake Burkhalter. Who's happier right now, myself or Kevin Ives?
Wow.
That's a real question. I know it's Kevin, because he's actually physically there. Yeah. So
was
so,
he in Corvallis?
No. He was on the corner though. Gotcha. I do have confirmation that he was on the corner throwing copious amounts of toilet paper.
Oh yeah, I saw him there.
And I know that I had a couple of rolls thrown for me through friends that I was texting and said, you know, throw one for me. I've got to go roll my tree out here in my front yard, which is a live oak. I'm not sure if it's from the same line. I think it is, but anywho, because the guy that owned the house before me, the house that I'm in right now, was an Auburn fan. So I'm hoping that that's what that is, but I didn't get a chance to ask him before the closing. Anywho, it was absolutely a fantastic late weekend. I definitely have not stayed up that late continuously over 3 days since my college days.
I'm a night owl myself, and it was a struggle for me.
Yeah,
it was a struggle for me. for the first two games at least. And I was definitely glad that that last one was much earlier. I was like, well, it could be 12:30 right now.
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong. My wife actually, whenever she went on ahead to bed, obviously, during game two. And so she sent me a text the next morning and said, so did your Balls win? And I said, no. We lost, so we have to play again tonight. And she asked, when are you guys, when is that game at 10:30? and I said, no, but knowing the NCAA, it'll be at 11:30 just to spite us. So luckily we got the 6:30 start, which was so much better to play baseball in the daylight of God's country and Central Time. So no, it was definitely a struggle this weekend, but, well worth the effort.
I have really one question for you, Drew, and that is, are you heading to Nebraska?
No, I am not. This is much like, what Butch Thompson said, it's national championship or bust. With the ticket prices, that came up. I will actually be in North Carolina this weekend with family. They have rented out a cabin in the mountains of North Carolina. So that's where I will be taking in the game. But yes, $738 to get up to Omaha for a flight was a little bit outside the price parameters. So
it's also like a long stay too, because the games are they're spaced out by day. So
you're already, and that was flying out Saturday morning, and flying back on Tuesday. So that's even off days flights.
Jeez.
My hope is that, that Auburn makes it to the national championship game, obviously.
Go next weekend.
And go next weekend, because right now I don't know of any plans that we have. The social committee, the head of the party planning committee, has not told me of anything. So if that happens, I believe I'm going to snag my father, who has never been to Omaha. I have been and seen the promised land. So to snag him up, and we'll do that should Auburn be playing three games for a national championship in the sport of college baseball, which is just a fun sentence to say. So that's kind of my plan. But Auburn's road to hoe is, though familiar, very, very, very tough, as it should be whenever you get to Omaha.
Nice.
So take us down memory lane here. The game, the last couple of games against Oregon State, how did you feel those played out from an Auburn perspective? Like, was that as good as it could possibly be?
So the encouraging thing for me, because there, and I'll bring this up when we talk about the four teams in the Omaha 2 regional, if you want to think about it like that, you sort of have to think about the season in two seasons. There's the regular season, then there's the tournament itself. Not even the SEC tournament, just the NCAA tournament. The encouraging thing for me with this Auburn team, and what I saw in the Auburn regional when I was there, so I got to see this team at least, was you saw Auburn not have to rely on pitching in the Auburn regional. 51 runs, everybody's talking about it, yada, yada, yada. It's all ESPN could talk about with Auburn. You never heard, going into the game, you only heard about Joseph Gonzalez. That was it, really, from a pitching standpoint. Trace Bright is fine. Mason Barnett has the stuff and is fine. Their bullpen is good. Skipper is good. Berkey is good. You didn't hear anything about Sheehan, but that's the guy I kept calling for whenever Trace Bright started to look bumpy with that literal dime-sized strike zone.
In game one. I mean, it was just the size of like a can, like a tin can.
Literally put a phone book up, and you have to make sure the ball completely gets into the phone book.
It was so frustrating to watch that.
You're right, and it's why everybody's kind of pushing for the automated strike zone in Major League Baseball, because then it's consistent, then we know what we're getting. Anywho, it was encouraging for me that Auburn won that game without too much offense. Yeah, they scored 7 runs, but compared to everything else that they did the previous week. But they really did that. They went 8 1/3 innings with their bullpen, which again, as I said here back in February, I think I put this in my article up on collegeandmag.com on one of my reviews of the games. As I said on this very podcast, this team will go as far as the bullpen will take them. The starters will be fine. They'll get 4 innings and they'll be great. The bullpen is where this team is going to live or die. And right now, next to Arkansas, maybe, this is the best bullpen left in the tournament.
It's incredible.
I'm happy to say I was there for game one. There for game one. Here in Arlington.
Yeah, you were. you got to see another College World Series matchup because Oklahoma's on the other side.
I might as well just have gone to Omaha.
Yeah, you might as well. Well, you could have just ended the season right there. You could have said these are 2 Omaha teams and looked like a genius.
From what I saw, I thought, you know what, this is going to be a special year.
This Texas Tech team, they're going to bomb out in the regionals, but that Oklahoma team, that's got Omaha written all over it.
Me and about 14 people who were at that game.
Which were my friends. I've got 2 buddies that were at that game, too.
Cavernous Globe Life Field.
Yeah.
How far is the drive from Dallas to Omaha?
Closer than Auburn, but I would not say close.
So like 12 hours?
Let's see. I've done this drive, as a matter of fact.
I know it's from a different direction. 6 from Dallas to Wichita, right? And then another... probably 5 from there.
Actually, no, I have not done this drive from here. What? I drove to Omaha from Denver once when I lived in Denver.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's much closer to Denver.
And not flat.
Yeah, this is a 10 and a half hour drive.
Oh, it's not
straight up. 10 and a half.
It's not that bad.
I guess.
Like just toss the kids in the car and
straight up.
Bro, how long is it on a bike, though?
A bicycle is 2 days, my man.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now. Mileage wise, that's good. That would take me at 668 miles. 2 days. That is 2 major days.
Uh huh.
So we're looking at about 4 days.
Well, if you leave now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Make it.
They're my first pitch.
I lose 45 pounds before first pitch.
Yeah.
Although it wouldn't be like I'd be climbing a lot of hills. It would be.
Literally.
It's a time trial all the way there.
This isn't the Tour de France that you're running. You're just doing the Forrest Gump run.
Yeah, flying through
hilarious
cornfields and pastures.
Yeah.
You pick up some sunflowers on the way in Kansas, and you get sunflower seeds. They're sustenance.
Let me ask you this: speaking of sunflower seeds, are the kids still chewing sunflower seeds? Because listening to baseball on the radio, because that's how I consumed this College World Series or this college. Postseason tournament? What do you call it?
Super regional.
But no, that's just the one matchup.
Sure. Postseason.
Okay.
Yeah, postseason.
I've consumed every matchup via the radio, via the app.
That's impressive.
From Andy and Brad.
Baseball is the best radio sport.
It really is the best.
Baseball is a talking sport, my friends.
Mm-hmm. So for the UCLA game, did you just sit there with the radio with the app on during like that god awful rain delay that I had to sit through?
No, I just quit listening. And then when I checked the game was back on, I listened to some more. It was so saying that listening to baseball on the radio, I want to just be mainlining sunflower seeds. And I think it's just, I have this like one of those memory things where you hear something and it's like, well, this is what I do when I listen to baseball on the radio is I go on long car rides and chew sunflower seeds.
Mm-hmm. No, you'll see a lot of signs in the dugouts, and you'll see it this week, I'm sure, because ESPN's got their cameras everywhere for the College World Series inside of, it's not TD Ameritrade anymore. It's Charles Schwab Field, because that just rolls off the tongue.
I'm going to miss the Oregon State broadcast crew. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I didn't watch it, but I heard that it was like, it was like,
guys were higher.
That's what I was.
Than the Burj Khalifa, my friend.
They were. It sounded like they were watching the game and listening to Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and trying to make it match up.
I said at about 7 o'clock Saturday night that we really should have Bill Walton calling these games, and it would have fit.
That would have been better.
It would have been way better.
Yeah. It would have been way better.
No, it wasn't the announcers that were the problem. It was the camera.
Well, they did ask if Auburn claims Cam Newton. So
yeah, there was a what felt like a 3-inning interview with former coach of Oregon State.
Here's the thing. The Pat Casey interview, who's the former head coach of Oregon State and was forced out for very questionable reasons, if you really want to know.
I'm not sure it was questionable.
Well, and it wasn't questionable, but they definitely didn't bring it up on the broadcast. But you just need to put that into your Googles, kids, and find out about that. The worst one was when they interviewed Connor Jerpy during game three.
He's such a terrible interview.
Oh God,
he's the worst.
Most college kids are.
Oh yeah, I'm like, guys, why are we continuing this?
Yeah, it's on the play-by-play guy, Roxy Bernstein, or Bernstein. I'm not sure which one it was because I have that Mandela effect going on. I can't remember which one it was. That's on him because he should call down to his producer at that point and go, this is garbage. We got to get out of this.
I'm convinced there was no producer of this entire thing. I'm convinced.
I knew we were in trouble. And this just goes to show how much college baseball I consume and why I need a hobby, like building things with toothpicks, you know, anything, literally. I knew we were in trouble when they said Roxy Bernstein and Todd Walker here. And I went, they want me to stay awake with Todd Walker talking to me? He's a walking quaalude. He's a walking, talking Seroquel pill.
Yeah, I'm glad we couldn't really hear them at the Southeastern on Saturday night, but Saturday Sunday night. Sunday it was.
Oh dear. No, yes. And
guys, I just Googled Pat Casey and my.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That was a.
That was not in his Wikipedia either.
No,
I had to go digging a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that a couple of Oregon State fans have made sure that that's been removed from his Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah. They probably have to remove that fairly often.
No, it's a part of their, when I open up, you know, how you can set Google Chrome to open up different websites, like a couple of different websites, and then one of them for Oregon State baseball fans is Pat Casey's Wikipedia page, so they can remove things that they need to remove.
In 2021, he says he's not ruling out a return to coaching.
There were a lot of rumors a couple of years ago that he was going to come back and coach. I can't remember where it was. But
he was the leading candidate at LSU at one point.
That's what it was. Like, that's what it was.
No, that's the article I just saw was that.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why Jay Johnson or Johnston is at LSU right now, because it was going to be Pat Casey. And then they were like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that he did kind of. Yeah, we can't have that. We can't have Coach O and this guy. So let's get Brian Kelly instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's on the up and up.
He's got a totally clean record of never. Completely. Never anything's never
mm-mm.
bad.
Guy.
Yeah, but they interviewed that guy for it. Felt I don't know how long it was. I swear it was more than an inning. It was an inning.
I understood because I think it was right at an inning. But it was over. So it was the quick top half of the inning when Oregon State was batting. Like, it was literally 3-up, 3-down. And then Auburn got to the plate. And it felt longer because Roxy threw it to break with the worst throw I've ever heard when he said, "Hey, Pat, listen to this and see if it jogs any memories." And it was the three highlights of them winning the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
It's a commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you were expecting Pat Casey to go, "Yeah, I do remember those because that's why I have these three rings."
Yeah.
I kind of remember that. Although all the inflection that I just put in my voice, Pat Casey wouldn't have done that. He would have said,
"Yeah, that was a lot of fun." Went up there and we threw the ball and we hit the ball really well. And we did things.
Man, I'm really glad I listened to the radio because let me tell you, Brad and Andy were crushing it.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, if there's, and again, there are different cadences for different people. I've really enjoyed, this is what the game three is one that I'm working on now. You guys know that I'm a video and audio nerd. Game three I'm working on to match up the radio play-by-play because I actually want to watch that game again.
Yeah.
Not just want to gouge my eyes out with a dull spoon.
And not feel like you're going to have a heart attack for the last, three innings or whatever.
Yeah.
So what you're describing to me is that the guys running the booth, the camera booth, really whacked out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No. The guys in doing the idea of interviewing were all NPR producers.
Yeah, oh my gosh!
They're
source material except for Butch Thompson, of course, because Butch is going to give you a good one liner every now and then, like saying that we've got a professional strike zone in game one.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Amazing thing. Give that man a political job because he hit it right between the crosshairs.
Oh,
and then you go over to their coach who looks, and again, don't know the guy. He's probably a great guy. And
sure.
I'm sure that, I don't want to be Amber Heard, get him brought up on a defamation lawsuit here. He looks like a guy that would be on Discovery ID. Like, this was a suspect of interest.
I thought he looked like a guy that coaches Little League Baseball but doesn't have any kids, nor does he plan to ever have any kids.
Oh, that's another good one. Overly aggressive T-ball dad that's not a dad.
Yeah, yeah. He might run the whole thing, too. Like, that maybe is.
Yeah. No, he's fall ball coach that where the scoreboard's not on, but takes it way too seriously, and we're going to win the daggum game.
And he's sleeping with a few of the moms.
Oh, yeah. No, team mom is actually girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're describing, like, so many travel baseball coaches.
Well.
Like, that's just travel baseball, from what I understand.
Yeah.
He had the goatee without the mustache. Like the connections on the side were there, but no mustache. Yeah.
It's almost like
he went to see Top Gun and was like, "I'm going to do the photo negative of that."
Yes, it's the Fu Manchu without the mustache.
It's almost like if Wooly Willy was an in-app buy on iPhone and you got enough coins to buy this part of the Wooly Willy, but you're still saving up for the mustache.
Apparently that's called the standard goatee.
Is it?
Hey, who would have known?
Sure about that.
It was a look. Apparently he played at Oregon State and was drafted. Never heard of him in my whole life. So
as a college baseball, again, the Pac-12 is just something I haven't really dabbled in other than Stanford, USC, and Arizona State. And that's mainly because I've had to for Auburn. I've never really dabbled in Oregon State. So, I mean, some of the more recent names that they were bringing up, like Heimlich and some of the other pitchers for Oregon State a couple of years ago.
Adley Rutschman played there as well.
Adley Rutschman is another good one, and he's the savior of the Baltimore Orioles right now. But no, they whenever they put up all those names on the baseball cards to talk about, recent MLB folks, some of those names hit familiar, but
I was thinking that their coach is probably about R.A.H. Drew, and that seems to be about right.
Yeah,
he was on their 06 and 07 championship teams. So
yeah, he would be about our age, yeah. which good on him, because not to say that they had Oregon State had fallen off. They won a title in 2018, so it's not that long ago. But to be able to, in your second year, to get a host regional and a super regional, get a top five seed. That's really good. Now the question will be, now that Connor Jerpy is gone, who was really, really good this weekend. I wasn't blown away by him, but I was impressed.
He was good.
Did they win the conference?
No, Stanford did.
Stanford, that's right. That's right.
Stanford, who got absolutely blasted by UConn in that first game. But then,
until they didn't. I mean, final was 13-12. Yeah,
13-12. I actually flipped over and watched the end of that after we were done, finally.
But then they just demolished. Yeah, UConn
didn't have anything in the
Although watching that game three, I know I'm just more informing than talking about. I've never seen this before. A pitcher, a UConn pitcher in game three was taken out of the game, was waiting to hand off the ball, handed it off to the new pitcher, and as he's walking off the mound, says something to the umpire, and the umpire tosses him. After he's been out of the game, which meant he had to get his bag and go to the bus. Because Stanford does not have a locker room. Never seen that before.
That's...
They don't have a locker room.
Interesting.
No. You get dressed on the bus at Stanford. Sometimes it's kind of odd.
That is very Little League baseball. That really is travel baseball sometimes.
Go back to
Johnny's sitting on the bus. He got thrown out of the game. His mom's in there.
He's in the Land Rover. Don't worry about him. He's just cool. He's got his orange wedge. He's got his Capri Sun. He's fine.
Dad gave him the iPad. He's watching Bluey. Yeah. Maybe a little young.
I was about to say, might be. He's watching Phantom Menace or something.
He's a college kid watching Bluey.
Right? Big City Greens. Though. I don't know.
There we go. He's watching The Big Green.
There we go.
Ryan, have you ever seen the movie The Big Green?
I've seen The Incredible Hulk. Is that the same thing?
The Big Green is a. Here's the thing, Ryan. In the 90s, the film The Mighty Ducks came out.
Yeah, I know that one.
Okay, it was a hit. And so then Disney was like, shoot, every sport needs a Mighty Ducks. And they began making progressively worse iterations of an already very cheesy formulaic film. And then they made The Big Green, which is the soccer version of the Mighty Ducks. And it is unwatchable. It's one of those few films that where as a kid I'm watching going, this is bad. Why are we doing this?
It's got I feel like it would have been vastly improved by putting the Hulk in that movie, though.
Oh, 100%.
It's got the portly, freckled, redheaded kid from The Sandlot and Son-in-Law.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, literally.
He's the star of the movie.
You look at the poster, you're like, wait a minute. The studio that brought you Mighty Ducks, one of the kids from The Sandlot. I am 100% in. This is going to be the greatest kid sport movie ever. It is not, decidedly not, the greatest kids sports movie ever.
Yeah.
So for the older folks, and I'm going to blow your minds here. Speaking of The Sandlot, which is how I got here. So the mom in The Sandlot.
Mm-hmm. I'm tracking.
We do understand that is the love interest in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Did not ever make that connection.
But here's the thing. Yes. You're talking to somebody who watches Raiders of the Lost Ark minimum three times a year.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I've seen Raiders plenty. I just don't watch Sandlot that much. So
you need to. It's hard. When I made that connection, it was like one of those. Oh, the guy from Big Bang Theory is also the son in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. It's one of Karen Allen's like few film roles.
It really is.
She stopped acting for forever until she was in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and 2006 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then she wished she probably hadn't.
I don't know which movie you're talking about because that didn't happen.
Man. She was also in Starman, 1984's Starman, and in Animal House.
Yes, she was in Animal House. She was
also in Pearl. Scrooged.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best Christmas movies ever. It's never a good thing when your Google results include, where is Karen Allen today? Or maybe it is a great thing, actually.
Yeah, no, she's like, nah, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out.
Was happy until George and Steve were like, come on back, Karen. Come
we
on
got
back.
One more indie movie.
They're gonna do another one. Are they gonna roll her back out there for the next one?
As long as you bring in the Nazis and Harrison Ford beating up on Nazis, I'm fine. I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
Notice why Temple of Doom is like the number three movie. It just barely makes the cut.
I'm a big Temple of Doom fan, but I get it.
Yeah, and here's the thing: Short Round makes that movie.
Oh yeah,
Short Round that is the movie, reason.
If you watch that movie,
it is terrifying.
I watched that movie after hearing that George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were turned down the opportunity to direct a James Bond movie in the 80s, and then wrote that film. And now knowing that, I watch that movie and I go, oh, they just made a Roger Moore James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And put Indiana Jones in it. That's what this is. It's a really good Roger Moore James Bond movie.
It is.
It's a really weird Indiana Jones movie.
It is. It is odd.
It was the first Indiana Jones movie I ever saw. And it was terrifying. Absolutely.
No. Yeah. The Colin Moss stuff is the reason why I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But no, you throw the James Bond into the third movie, Sean Connery, and Sean Connery's beating up on Nazis while making out with the Nazi.
It's great
that his son also makes out with.
Yes,
incredible.
Julian Glover is the bad guy. Spoiler. Yes. Sorry.
Spoiler.
You're fine.
Spoiler alert for this movie that came out in 1993.
Yeah.
Oh man, this Indiana Jones talk is we're the only College World Series preview show.
you're only going to get this here.
So back to the College World
Series. Yeah, I guess we should probably wrap up the Super here.
Yeah.
Let's go all the way into the College World Series. But first, let's take a quick commercial break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back at some point in this podcast. We have given you everything you've needed to know from the Super Regional. We recapped that in depth.
With
an encyclopedic recap of the Super Regional.
I have to say is that after the Super Regional, it just feels like when you have to take a poop for a long time and you finally do.
Mm-hmm. Just, just relief. It's just that relief. It's that relief.
That would be catcher Nate LaRue.
It was so funny here. Like, I was listening, and that was like some of the most fun.
Post
game.
LaRue, I've never heard it quite put that way.
Because Brett was wandering around the field and just grabbing whoever. It was awesome.
Was it Brad or Andy?
No, it was Brad.
So Brad was probably like, well, Nate, that sounds pretty great. My voice.
He started laughing.
Knowing Brad like I do, he was so uncomfortable, and because he knew that the entire network was on, that they were going to have to cut that post game and put it into the Tiger podcast, so even more people were going to have to hear it.
Yeah,
and he, knowing Brad, knowing how sometimes uncomfortable he is whenever he's got the hot mic, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
He laughed. You could tell he was uncomfortable laughing, but it was so funny. Mm-hmm. You could tell he still thought it was funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he knew. Yeah, if there's one thing that I can say about Brad Law, it's that he does have a great sense of humor, an impeccable timing and a great sense of humor. So he knows when he's got gold, but he also knows when he can't add anything to that gold. Because if he does, he will overstep an FCC line and really bring things down.
At least Nate said poop. What made it the funniest.
Yes. Hearing a baseball
player. It made you think that he had practiced that line before.
Yeah. Right.
And made it radio friendly. He knew what he was going to say.
No, sometimes on a radio broadcast, play-by-play and color guys, or two play-by-play guys, if you do it that way, we'll have a vocabulary battle. You got to work this. First got to work this word into weekend broadcast three times, gets $5 or gets dinner paid for. So it's almost like Nate LaRue said, no, I'm going to say poop on the radio. if I get interviewed, and I'm sure that it was like as they're flying out there. And the guy's like, so, you know, what's it going to be like? It's going to be cold and everything like that. Well, you know, the radio guys are sitting up there. And who do you think they're going to interview? Yada, yada, yada. No, Nate, I could definitely see Nate LaRue going, no, if I get interviewed, I'm saying poop on the radio. And just make everybody lose it.
Oh, it was perfect. Oh, man. Best post game ever.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the College World Series, though.
We can do that.
Who's our first matchup, Drew?
I'll preface this by saying you need to think about the College World Series. It's eight teams, but really and truly you're paying attention to four. If you have a team in Omaha. So think of it as a regional. It's the exact same, just with a day in between. So you'll match up with your first opponent, which for Auburn, that's Ole Miss, a very familiar foe, team that Auburn played back in week one of the SEC, where Ole Miss took two out of three at Plainsman Park. But that was without Joseph Gonzalez throwing for Auburn. So, I think Auburn would have taken two out of three with Joseph Gonzalez going because Ole Miss was not playing good baseball at that time.
You may have missed those games. It was the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yes. It was also.
I know. I didn't catch much of that.
Mm-mm. No, not many people did. And then on the other matchup on Saturday is Arkansas and Stanford, the number two overall seed, Stanford and Arkansas, who is the number two seed out of the Stillwater Regional, which Arkansas took two out of three over Auburn in Plainsman Park as well. I believe that was at the end of April, beginning of May.
It was the weekend after the Tennessee series or before?
It was. It was after.
Okay. First week of May then.
Yes, first week of May. And they took two out of three, which was a really, really close series. Auburn could have taken a game, but kind of gave up a late lead. I think Auburn led 7 or 8 to nothing on Friday night. And then lost the lead and ended up losing like 9-7 or 9-8, something to that effect, or 13-9. I can't remember.
Three games were 8-11 loss, 5-3 win, and a 4-7 loss.
Yeah.
So this was number three Arkansas at the time.
That is correct, because then they went on the road, or they went back home and lost to Vanderbilt, I believe. Oh, no, I can't remember. I know that they lost to Alabama in the last series and then ended up losing to them in the SEC tournament as well. And meanwhile, Vanderbilt also took two out of three in Fayetteville before Vanderbilt got swept by LSU to finish off the season. So very familiar teams in Auburn's side of the College World Series bracket. It's going to be a really interesting matchup with Ole Miss. At least in my opinion, you're talking about a team that shut out the Southern Miss in their two games in the Super Regional at Southern Miss. They scored 50. They outscored the Golden Eagles 15-0. And then in the NCAA regionals, they scored a grand total of 31 runs. So 31-15. You're talking about a team that has put up a good number of runs, 46, and only get while giving up a grand total of 11 all postseason long. Their pitching has come off, has finally put those puzzle pieces together. The good and the bad of the College World Series is normally you're going to get everybody's won on the first day just because everybody's really, really good. So I think Dylan DeLucia is going to be the arm that Auburn sees. He's got a 4.35 ERA in 10 starts so far this season, 78 and two-thirds innings. I really haven't done my breakdown as far as like the fastball range and everything, but I'm pretty sure he sits about 92 on his fastball, which means his change will probably go down to about 80, 82. But I'm not sure of his third and fourth pitches, but this Ole Miss pitching staff has been insane in the postseason. They were able to knock out just in their five games that they've played. They're 5-0 so far in the postseason. Even though they were probably the 64th team in, as far as they were the last at large. We do know that for sure. So they were able to take down Arizona, beat number 6 Miami on their home field, and then beat Arizona again in just a whitewash of a 22-6 beatdown. On Monday of the regionals. And then all they did was go down to Hattiesburg and absolutely dominate a really, really good pitching Southern Miss team and shut down their offense, which is big because you've shut out a team on their home field. But Southern Miss was hot and cold all year with their offense. They really hung their hat on pitching. So it'll be interesting to see what Auburn can do because Arizona doesn't have a great offense. Miami really didn't wow anybody with offense. They've faced a lot of really good pitching teams and have looked impressive with their offense. And we all know those names already, Justin Bench, Tim Elko, Jacob Gonzalez, who's probably going to be the number one overall pick in next year's major league draft. So Kep Alderman, who's also really turned on and become a real big hitter for them as well here late in the season. So this is just a really good offense. It's Ole Miss. It's what we thought a team that was ranked number one in the country before they ran up against Tennessee. This is the Ole Miss team that we expected to see all season long, and we're finally getting to see it.
What time is the game?
That would be 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. ESPN2 will be the broadcast, and I can guarantee you that Todd Walker will not be on the call with Roxy Bernstein. I'm not sure. Now, that said, it could be Eduardo Perez, which... but you probably get Kyle Peterson as well.
I think the best part is we should get an A-team camera crew in Omaha.
And that was one thing that I didn't bring up because whoever was setting the iris or the white balance on the center field camera, don't ever change that during the middle of the pitch. you really want to give me a heart attack? You open that shutter up or close it down to where it looks like nothing is happening, like it just went black. Yeah, no, that's a way to give me a heart attack.
Yeah, I think we'll have an A team there. You'll be able to tell where the ball's going when it leaves the bat.
Yes, or you won't have to rely on the center field camera to follow the batter.
Out of the box to first base. One of our home runs, the only reason I knew it was a home run is because of, like, how the batter was running. Like, Like, otherwise, I was like, I don't know. I don't know where this ball's going.
It was like Chip Carey was the cameraman.
Yes.
Anything that was remotely lifted to the outfield was swinging the drive, and it might only go 250 feet.
But, no, I've never seen a play-by-play guy be in attendance for a game, be at physically at the game, and treat a home run like Sonny DeShera hit in the first inning. A second at bat. So it was the third inning to put Auburn up two to nothing or 2-1 or whatever it was, whatever. I've never seen a guy just go, oh, well, this is a lazy fly ball. Like, not even for the warning track,
yes.
Mind you. The ballpark will hold this. Like, no, it's not. I know Sonny's trot. I know when he knows he got it, and he got it. I've never seen that before. So no, you're going to get an 18. You're going to get the overhead cam. Crow, I still want you to still listen on the radio. You cannot watch games.
I can't watch games.
Can't watch games. But you'll have that high center field camera, so that you're actually looking dead over the plate instead of like off to the side.
That was, I think, a lot of people. You know, with the complaint of the strike zone, it wasn't helped by how sharp that angle was from the camera. I mean, it was pretty severe.
It was very severe. It was much more severe than if you watched the Auburn regional on TV. I went back and watched the Florida State game because I'm sorry, I'm just going to do that a couple more times. but I went back and watched that game just to see where ESPN had lined up for TV, just to see if it was the same as the ESPN or SEC Network Plus, and it was. And that's a really good angle because you can kind of just move yourself over a little bit and figure out, okay, that was actually off the plate. But no, you actually had to move yourself another step over or two more steps over just to get where the actual strike zone was.
Severe that for a right-handed batter, you couldn't see the umpire.
Correct.
And there was more than one that was a strike call, and you couldn't tell that he called a strike just because you couldn't see.
There were a couple of times where a strike or a ball surprised me. And that obviously that happens, but not with the regularity that it did watching the Oregon State Super Regional. And after going back and watching, since I didn't have to be on edge, I went back and ESPNU, I think, was replaying the game on Tuesday morning. And so while I'm at work, I'm watching the game. And just kind of noticed how far over the center field camera was. That's a very good call, Ryan. But no, you'll get a good camera crew. You'll get a lot of different angles. You'll get the exit velo. You'll get all the home run stuff that you see on Sunday Night Baseball. ESPN does it right from that perspective of giving you the inside the game stats as they happen. So it'll be good to see Auburn on that stage. It'll be good for Auburn to get that exposure once again. It can do nothing but help, even if you go to and barbecue, which I don't think that'll happen this time. Auburn's looking for their first, again, it sounds bad, but when you go, oh, they've only played three games since then in the College World Series, Auburn will be looking for their first victory in Omaha since a 1997 win over Rice. Again, after that, I think they lost a game to Stanford in 97, and then Mississippi State, which they should have won in 2019, and then the Louisville game that went the way it did. So this will be Auburn's Auburn's on a 3-game losing streak in the College World Series, so it's about time for that to break up.
I wish they'd get John Miller out. I wish ESPN had John Miller.
Me too. No, I enjoy watching.
That was my ESPN baseball days heyday. Was John Miller and Joe Morgan.
Mm-hmm. No, and you can still watch. You can still watch him do Giants games. Mm-hmm. I've got the MLB package, so every now and then I'll throw on John Miller broadcast just to relive my childhood.
I believe he called the first 2 years of the Texas Baseball Rangers baseball team.
Really?
1978. If you love baseball and you love baseball books and you've got time to kill whenever this dream season ends, I recommend a book called Seasons in Hell about the first 2 years of the Texas Rangers. And our Frank's first 5 years. It is the funniest book, sports book you'll ever read. Because you'll read it and go, I cannot believe this is real life. But it is Seasons in Hell. I'll send you the link. It is as good as it gets. There's a story in there about Ted Williams, who was the manager for the Rangers at one point, their first year. He comes in and he's trying to teach hitting to the Rangers, who are terrible. And he's trying
to do what Ted Williams does.
Yeah, yep. He's trying to explain to them which half of the baseball to hit, depending on the part of the inning that you're in. He's like, well, look, if there's 2 outs, you want to hit this part of the baseball because it's going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And he said, and the guy writing the book is like, to a man, each Ranger afterwards was like, what the hell is he talking about? We are just trying to hit the ball. I'm just trying to hit the ball, much less aiming for particular parts of a ball.
Parts of the ball. You're not talking about a beach ball. You're talking about trying to hit parts of an orange.
Right.
And then he would just go out there and just hit batting practice and just be the best player on the team. And he's in his late 50s. No, it's a great book. And it is a great book. But it kind of tells you just how crazy the 70s were in general. Because there wasn't social. Like, you read that book and you're like, if there was social media, the Rangers would have folded within 3 years.
It's the exact same reason why, you know, and it's why folks that are disillusioned with college football now are because they had it back in the 70s and 80s. Those were the great days because you didn't know what you were watching.
Right.
I mean, we know what we're watching now. It's a business and yada, yada, yada. But it was still a business back then, but everybody was just like, yeah, man, whatever. Yeah, well, the field's waterlogged and guys can't, they're blowing out their ACLs and yeah, man, just walk it off. Sure. No, I will definitely grab that book.
That sounds like a good book.
I'm sending you the Amazon link right now. It's $12 on Kindle currently.
So I'm into that.
You guys, let's do this again after a ring.
Yeah, I've got
one. No. Hang on. We'll do it again before a championship series.
Yeah, we'll just do it. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I've got time on Thursday or Friday next week.
All right. I'm in.
I can make time.
Ryan, I've got a trivia question for you.
Sure.
What multi-platinum selling band hails from Omaha, Nebraska?
I could not tell you who comes from Nebraska.
What multi-platinum selling rock reggae rap band comes from Omaha, Nebraska?
There it is.
The 311?
It is!
There it is. And that's all you need to know. Let's hope Amber's the color of Auburn's energy.
Amen.
This week. Have a wiggle weekend, everyone.
Keep on going. Enjoy your wings, Top Chief.
I will. Victory Wednesday.